Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in God, creator of heaven and earth. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans that the invisible things of God are clearly seen in that which is present in nature. He argued from creation to the existence of God. The psalmist does the same thing when he says in Psalm 19, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork." We saw this wonderful sky and swam in the multicoloured sea one February morning, and we were all, believers and unbelievers, both teary and speechless at its beauty. God's creation. In the Job reading, God uses the example of his wonderful creation to reassure Job that he has a big plan and that we are part of it. The French philosopher Voltaire and others took the position that if you see something as complex as a watch that really works both as beautiful jewellery and as a timepiece, there must be somewhere behind that existence of the watch, a watchmaker. It is absurd to think that the watch made itself. And in logical progression, it is nonsensical to believe that this complex universe, which functions in such exquisite ways, could all have come about by happenstance. A design this complex must have behind it a grand designer. The study of human history makes it quite clear that mankind is religious. Humankind is religious. Scratch us at the surface, and most people have some belief in the existence of a divine reality and really want it to be true. The atheistic writings of some philosophers, political theorists, and psychologists have not been able to rid modern men and women from religious yearnings, although some still struggle to believe without proof. The Apostle John was well aware of a dilemma when he wrote his gospel. He was writing to those who never got to see what he saw. He was asking his first readers to do what we must do today, to believe without seeing. It sounds impossible. And so John includes what Jesus says to Thomas after he comes to believe. "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I believe in God the Father. We can move from grand, broad, generic creator God to the more personal definition. When we declare, "I believe in God the Father," we're not making a gender statement. We're declaring that the Creator God is also personal to each one of us. Jesus talks about the Father approximately 100 times in John's Gospel alone. He uses a very interesting word for Father. It is the Aramaic word Abba. It literally means daddy. His opponents were offended that Jesus would talk about God in such an intimate, familiar way, but he persisted and said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father.'" He describes how God functions as a good father who wants the very best for his children. This God is personal. Growing up, I was surrounded by people who had undergone really life-changing traumas. I was blessed to be loved and spared, besides the standards of ups and downs of life. But I could sense the inner struggles of others from a very young age. When I was about 3, however, I remember standing in the church garden in Singapore. The choir was singing as we all received our certificates of attendance, and I just felt God's fatherly face shining on me and a ready breath glow surrounding me, which has sustained me since. I can remember some words from the singing that day. Searching through the Bible, the closest I can get is Exodus 34, which says, "The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." I was mesmerised by the singing, and my dad took a photograph. He had his camera there. He had his camera there because I was getting my certificate of attendance, and Tom got a picture of me just like looking up at the choir. I'll leave it there. I was mesmerised. My dad took a photo of it. It also felt that in that moment, he laid on me that my own brand of discipleship was be cheerful. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, radiate this joy at home and in all situations. I was hoping that something more grown up and sophisticated than cheerfulness would be whispered in my ear when I was at theological college, but no, it's still cheerfulness. I believe in God, the Almighty. He is omniscient. God knows all things and is absolutely perfect in knowledge. But we should still tell him everything, so that we have a full two-sided relationship. God is omnipotent, while God is all-powerful. People say to me, how can your God let this or that happen then, if he is all-powerful? But God gave humankind free will, which wouldn't be free will if it was switched on and off to suit the situation. God is omnipresent. Our God is present everywhere. He listens to our prayers, but he may not always answer them straight away or how we expect him to. And be careful what you pray for. I was with some prayer warriors one morning, and I was concerned that my husband had forsaken his spirit of adventure to be an attentive husband and father. We all prayed in earnest that he wouldn't let go of who he was. A week later, he came home and asked if he could go on an unaccompanied secondment to California for a year. I prayed for his get up and go and said he comes up and went. Our God is immutable. We are changeable. Therefore, how he relates to us is in his unchangeableness, with consistent love and mercy. Last and by no means least, God has a sense of humour. When we visited the Falklands, we went to visit the cathedral. Rather grandly, I added to the visitor's book that I was an ordinand of the Portsmouth Diocese. Do you really want to identify yourself? My introvert husband asked. Yes, it's a bit more interesting than just putting my name, don't you think? Anyway, it was a very small cathedral, a little bigger than St. Thomas Bedhampton. To make space, we had pushed all the pews together so the tourists could get around. Oh, said one of the stewards, who is the ordinand from Portsmouth? Would you like to see the vestry? As I tried to reach her, I tripped and fell on the first pew, causing a domino effect. In the other direction, much to my husband's and God's amusement at my preciousness. It was a real Miranda moment. And I see it as symbolic of when I stray from God. He stacks everything up nicely. When I'm not praying this or listening enough, when I insist on going my own way, it all runs away from me very quickly, just like the cascading pews. So besides us proclaiming our faith in that lovely back-to-basic statement that we make in the Creed, our challenge is, what can we do this week to be advocates for God and help others believe. God's original design for humankind was to be in his image and behave in his image. Tom Wright described an angled mirror reflecting God's wise and loving rules and justice down into the world and reflecting our grateful worship and love back. As Christians, we recognise the responsibility to reflect God's love and image to the world. I pray every day that God will transform me inwardly and outwardly so that image is not distorted. How can I demonstrate God's love and compassion, his holiness and righteousness, his justice and mercy, his peace and cheerfulness? Can we pray for those who through poor teaching or painful experience have received the wrong impression of who God is? May his love break through the barriers. Can we pray for those who have become cynical about God's existence? Heavenly Father, make us beacons of your hope. Help us radiate the blessed assurance that we have in you. Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.